The book of Ruth is one of the only two books in the Bible that were named after women. It is a short book. It tells a love story that happens sometimes during the time of the judges. But don't discount this book as a mere love story, because I find at least the three things we must keep in mind. I want you to pay attention there on these things. First point, this book is the only one that provides the lineage of David to the tribe of Judah through Ruth. All the other historical books in the Old Testament assume that the readers know that David was from the tribe of Judah because they are speaking to the Israeli people. The lineage is very important because the Messiah was to come from the tribe of Judah, and the genealogy of Jesus traces back to David through Ruth. Another important point is that this book shows the heart of God that desire to reach the whole world, not just the Jews. Jews thought that they are the chosen people, and all the other people, Gentiles, they even thought that some of the Pharisees used to think that good kindling material for the hell. We'll be just burned in hell because we are Gentile. Ruth was a Moabitess, a member of the cursed race due to their paganism and idolatry. And through the testimony of her mother-in-law, Naomi, and her faith in God of Israel, she, Ruth, discarded her own idolatry and came to God, and she became a lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This foreshadows our ultimate inclusion, the Gentiles. All right, third point. This book shows the illustration of a kinsman redeemer law. Kinsman redeemer law. There was the law by which a close relative could take over the right of inheritance and redeemed the inheritance when the heirs was deceased. This is the reason Jesus, as our kinsman redeemer, was able to redeem us. Humans were dead in sin. Agreed? Humans were dead in sin to redeem ourselves. We couldn't do it. So Jesus took the human form, a human form, became one of us, and paid the price for our redemption on the cross. Anyone who says that there is no grace and mercy of God in the Old Testament does not know the Bible, especially the book of Ruth. This book is filled with the grace and mercy of God. Let's stop here and pray. Father, it's easy to discard this book as just love story. Oh, how cute. But you put so much love and grace and mercy of yours in this book. You extend your grace toward this Gentile woman, hidden woman, and through her, our Messiah came to the world. Father, let us not take anything for granted from your word, and always seeking your ways and seeking your direction. Father, teach us, open our heart to receive your word, anoint our hearts, and anoint the one who speaks. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 4, please. Chapter 2, verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then the Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "This is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from the morning until now. though she rests a little in the house. No sooner has Boaz greeted his workers than his eyes caught this young woman, young stranger. And of course, you want to be more specific, then she's a rather beautiful lady. It's not in your Bible, in English Bible, but in the original Hebrew script, he blew the low whistle and he said, "Ooh, what a babe." Many Bible students have seen Boaz a picture of Lord Jesus Christ in his relationship to his bride, the church. Are you with me on that? Like a Ruth, the lost sinners is outside of the covenant of family of God, bankrupt with no claim on God's mercy. But God took the initiative and provide a way for us to enter his family through faith in Jesus Christ. On a side note, we must pay attention to something that the Ruth may not have noticed, but the servant who was in charge of the reaper noticed how she interacted with other people around her and how humble she was. So get this, guys. The unbelievers around us notice that we are Christians and we are under their constant observation and scrutiny. If you ever say that you go to church, if you ever say that you pray before your meal and they see you that, and they will listen to you. Anything come out of your mouth is wrong, they will say, "Oh, that's how the Christian act, huh?" They'll put you in the higher level. Verse 10 of chapter 2, please. So she fell on her face and she bowed down to the ground and said to him, that is Boaz, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, have come to the people whom you did not know before." Verse 12, "The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find a favor in your sight, my Lord, and for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." But Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here, eat the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." Yuck. So she sat beside the reaper, and he passed the parched grain to her. She ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let the grain from the bundles all fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." I want all of you to see the beautiful picture of the grace of God here. First, God made us to be joint heir with Jesus Christ, Romans 8:17. Boaz took the Ruth under his care as a member of his family. She was allowed to glean even among the sheaves. Another point, God provided all our needs according to his riches in glory, Philippians 4:19. Boaz provided Ruth's need without her knowledge. God protects us, 1 John 4:4, Philippians 4:7. Boaz ordered his young men not to touch her. When the reapers they cut the bottom of the wheat, is that what they call wheat stalk? Yeah, they cut, and they when they pick them up, some of them fall to the ground. By law, they are not supposed to pick them up. So if I grab this much and about this much fell on the ground, I'm supposed to walk away. They did not have a social security system. Poor people come behind the reapers, they are allowed to pick them up. But they are not allowed to pick from the sheep the reapers already got. So whatever they left on the ground, they are allowed to have. That's a gleaning. Chapter 3, verse 1, please. Everybody understood that? Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, of course, Ruth went back home and told Naomi about everything, and she even told Naomi that this is the guy, and his name is Boaz. My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, note their word, anoint yourself, note that as well, and put on your best garment, note that. Go down to the threshing floor, and do not make yourself known to the man until he is finished in eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. She said to her, that is Ruth speaking to Naomi, all that you said to me, I will do. Note that now. There are four things we must notice as I told you, from the Naomi's instruction to the Ruth and the Ruth's response to Naomi. First, wash yourself. With regard to the Jews, the law of Moses required a ceremonial cleansing and taking a bath and changing clothes usually precede a special event. Actually, what Naomi is telling Ruth act like a bride preparing for a wedding. And you may think, that, wow, that's you pushing it. Go, keep your finger right there and go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 9. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. God speaking to Israel. I clothed you in embroidered clothes and gave you the sandal of badger skin. I clothed you with a fine linen and covered you with a silk. I adorned you with the ornament and put the bracelet on your wrist and the chain on your neck. I put the jewels in your nose, in earring in your ears, in beautiful crown on your head. God preparing his people, Israel, the people, as his bride. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we see the bride wearing, the church wearing the white robe. If we want to enter into deeper relationship with our Lord, we must cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting the holiness in the fear of God. I'm quoting the 2 Corinthians. When we seek forgiveness, God washes the record clean, as it mentioned in 1 John 1:9. But God will not do for us but what we must do for ourselves. What is that be? Asking God to forgive us. Only we as an individual can put out our lives, those things to defile us. And we know what they are. Some people, I hope none of you are struggling with the pornography. If you do, you need to stop. I learned this thing by experience. People whom I used to think that, wow, they're above, beyond that pornography. No. And what you hear, what you listen, songs, be careful what you listen. And you may say, well, there's no Christian song that I like. You are lying through your teeth. You name any genre. All the Christian, there are so many different ways, the style of the Christian songs. You want the heavy metal bashing thing? We have that. I have no idea what they're singing because they are screaming. All right, second point. Anoint yourself. Eastern people use fragrant oil to protect and heal their bodies and make themselves pleasant to others. Thank goodness. A bride would especially use a fragrant perfume for her wedding day. Now, anointing oil speaks of presence and the working of Holy Spirit in our lives. All believers have received the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Agree? As well as His anointing. But that just because we have Holy Spirit as a born-again believers, that doesn't mean we are anointed by Him all the time. God will not push His way around in our lives. Therefore, we ought to be a fragrance of Christ to our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, please. Verse 15. For we are to God, the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. In other words, among the believers as well as what? Unbelievers. Get this, guys. The more we are like Christ in characters and conduct, the more we please our Father, and the more we please Him, the more He can bless us and use us for His glory. Amen? While here on earth, Jesus lived His life and did His work according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. If the sinless Son of God, God Himself, needs the direction of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need from Him? Third point, put on the best garment. I believe that Ruth may not have a large collection of designer wardrobe. Probably she had at least one good clothes for the special occasion. In Scripture, clothing often carries a spiritual meaning. After they had sinned against God, our first parents, Adam and Eve, tried to cover themselves with what? Very, very itchy fig leaves. Have you ever seen the fig leaves? Has a little fuzzy on the leaves? Can you imagine putting that thing on your skin? But only the Lord could forgive them and clothe them acceptably. To do that, He had to shed the blood of the animals. The Jewish priest wore the special garment that nobody else was permitted to wear. Salvation is also pictured as a change of clothes. Isaiah 61, please. In case you wonder if I just made this up. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He has clothed me with a garment of what? Very good. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decked himself with ornament and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. Fourth point. All that you do, all that you say to me, Ruth speaking to Naomi, I will do. She didn't say, well, okay, mother-in-law, I'll think about it. Ruth was not only hearer of the word, but she was a doer. Willingness to obey the Lord is a secret of knowing what He wants us to do and being blessed when we do it. God does not expect us to understand what He does, but He expects us to do what we are told to do by Him through His Word and through the counsel of godly people. Alright, go to chapter 4, please, in the book of Ruth. Now Boaz went up to the gate, sat down after what he said to the Ruth. Just for the side note, go to chapter 3, verse 14. So she, Ruth, laid at his, Boaz's feet until morning. She arose there before anyone could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let be known to that woman came to the threshing floor." And also he said, "Bring a shawl that is on you and hold it." When she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. She went into the city. You know, in a way, it's very romantic. If there was a box of chocolate and bouquet of flowers, roses, probably he could give it to her, but he didn't want her to go back home empty-handed to his mother-in-law. So this is what he did. Okay, back to chapter 4, verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Do you think Boaz is a very influential man? Because he was telling the elders to sit and they all sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through in his inheritance." And the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem it, and you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Can you imagine Boaz telling this close relative, "Okay, you want to redeem it? Okay." And he said, "Yeah, I will." And he said, "Oh, bummer." That's not what he liked to hear. So he pulled out his ace card. "Okay, when you do that, you have to marry Ruth." Probably this guy had a wife that was not very comfortable with having another wife. So he said, never mind. And of course, the Boaz was thinking, then I have to redeem it. Let me think about it. Okay. All that in a quick sentence. There is a word many Christians have heard and read, and he probably even used. Do you know the word? The redeemed. But many people do not know the exact meaning because either they were not taught or did not research it by themselves. The word redeemed, in secular term, people may think they're redeeming the coupon, right? How many of you guys know that thing, redeeming coupons? But spiritually, there's a whole lot more. According to the dictionary.com I use, it means to buy back, to recover the by payment or the other satisfaction. But theological dictionary says that It defines to deliver from the sin and other consequences by means of sacrifice offered for the sinner. Yes, it is a heavy-duty theological word. What is the difference between ransom and the redeemed? Both means to buy back. Redeem is wider in its application than ransom. To ransom is to recover a person from the captivity by paying stipulated price. But redeem means from sin by sacrifice. Are you with me on that? Sin, from sin by sacrifice. That's the principle of a redemption that God has written in His Word. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they had to be redeemed. But it was not complete redemption. It was merely covered. During the Old Testament, their sins were covered. As a near relative, boys could redeem the family property that Elimelech had sold when he took the family to Moab. Naomi was not wealthy enough to redeem it, but boys could buy it back and keep it in the family. However, something else was involved. The wife of the deceased went with the property. Therefore, the kinsman redeemer had to marry her and bring up the child with his brother's name. So most likely, especially the firstborn, are you with me so far? Firstborn is dead. And if they're not careful, that property can be end up in someone else's wealth. So to keep it in the family, they have to buy it back. And when with the woman, and they get married, and the first child will belong to the brother's family. You with me on that? Good. In case you're wondering where I come up with that, Deuteronomy chapter 25. When we studied the book of Deuteronomy, I told you guys that we will skip this portion so that we can talk about it later. Now is the time. Chapter 25, verse 5. Any of you have a question so far? If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of her husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, just like I said, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. This is known as a riveret marriage. And the word river, revere, is a Latin word for the husband's brother. I learned the Latin word. By the way, in case you're wondering where I learned this kind of thing, dictionary.com gives you wealth of this kind of knowledge. Because not only it gives the definition and it gives you the origin of the word. And when it started and how it is evolved. When it comes to spiritual redemption, all people with the exception of Jesus Christ, who was God-man, are in the bondage to sin, death, and Satan, was unable to meet themselves and set themselves free. We all know that, right? To explain this, I need to take you to the beginning first and then future later. The title deed of this planet Earth was originally given to Adam in the Garden of Eden when God told him to subdue the earth, and according to Genesis 1:28. But Adam forfeit his right to the ownership and when he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve was tricked by Satan. Agreed? But when she said, "Eat this," he knew what he was doing. He was not covert, he was overt, and he it was a calculated act of rebellion against God, which is why the Bible speaks of Adam's sin as that which transferred to Satan the title deed of our planet. He was the caretaker of the earth. No human could buy the earth back because we could not. We are spiritually bankrupt. Because the sinful nature we are born with, so we could not do it. Does it mean that we are forever doomed? We know that. No, we have a kinsman redeemer of mankind. That's Jesus Christ. This time we are going to go to the future. Chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and what? On the back. Sealed with the seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll, to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. During the 7-year great tribulation time on the earth in the future, the Apostle Paul was witnessing this scene in the throne room of the heaven. If similar to the other scroll in John's days, it is made out of 8 by 10 inch, about this big, not big, about the size of the 8 by 11 size, a little bit smaller. It's a continuous added horizontally, and with the 2 wooden dowels, I guess, and they open from the left, right to left, not like the English book going from the right to left. Normal scroll is just one side, and they roll it, make a one seal with a wax seal, and they probably put something like this. Not this fancy, but something like this, and make sure you just keep it that way. And they put it in the temple storage room. But that can be deed, there can be any document. Title deed is a different story. If it would never been sold to anybody else, it stays that way. But if it was transferred or sold to somebody else, they don't write inside. They write on the outside. Are you with me on that? So when you read the title deed, the scroll that's written inside and outside, that's naturally you will be able to think no other scroll, no other document except title deed. Especially that means it was transferred to somewhere else, to someone else. But this particular one has 7 seals. What does it mean? Some people say it different way, but I believe this is the proper way. It was a long one, so they put the one seal here, roll more, put another seal, roll more, put another seal, put another seal, and have 7 seals. They have a copy, each owner, new owner will get to have 1 copy, and the temple get to keep another copy. When the Redeemer, Kinsman Redeemer, come and buy that thing, they broke the seal. Does this sound familiar to you? Breaking the seal? The wrath of God poured down. As they break the title deed of the planet Earth, they break the seal, the wrath of God come on down to the unbelievers on the great tribulation time. Each time they break the seal, there are more and more tribulation at the wrath of God. Any question? Okay, so that is a title deed. Initially, title deed would be written on the smooth side, sealed with a single seal, but the owner would not be able to meet his financial obligation. He had to relinquish his title deed, and upon the back side would be written his debt, and upon would be placed in the 7 seals. All of this explains what is in the hand of who is sit on the throne here in chapter 5. It is titled it to the planet Earth. Before the book of Ruth finished a happily ever after story, go back to chapter 4, Ruth chapter 4, verse 18. Remember, I mentioned to you at the beginning, there's first point, it gives a genealogy, right? Remember that? Verse 18 speaks the genealogy of Perez. This is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram from St. Louis. And the Ram begot Amminadab, begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Is it important? Oh yes, because the Messiah came from the lineage of King David through Ruth. All right, two applications. Number one, be still, Psalm 46:10. If you close your Bible, shame on you. I'm not done yet. Psalm 46:10, one of my favorite verses. Be still, know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations, I'll be exalted in the earth. This is a wonderful antidote for our restless spirit. Interestingly, Hebrew words translate be still as take your hands off and relax. If you turn into jive term, take a chill pill. Our Lord can do just fine without our help, really. Do you know that? Second application, He is able. Philippians 1:6, please go there. Being confident of this very thing, He who has begun a good work in you will fizzle out, will quit in a halfway, right? No, He said complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It encouraged my heart to know that Jesus Christ is working unceasingly for His people as He intercedes for us in heaven, and that He is working in us and seeking to conform us to His perfect will. Amen.